One voice. That's all it takes. One voice to break you, to shrink you, to echo in your mind louder than a crowd of people who love you. And isn't that wild? You can hear "I believe in you" 100 times, but the one person who said "you'll never be enough," that's the one that sticks. That's the one that keeps showing up in the quiet. The one that resets your confidence back to zero. And the worst part? It doesn't even have to be recent. Sometimes the most damaging voices aren't the loud ones in your present. They're the whispers from your past. A parent, a teacher, a partner, someone who saw you at your most open and handed you a lie that sounded like the truth. And now, you carry it. Even if you've healed, even if you know better, even if your life looks nothing like it did when they said it, that wound still flinches when the world gets too quiet. This episode isn't about bitterness. It's about the math of healing. Because for most of us, it takes 100 hugs to believe we're lovable again. 100 kind words to quiet the one that cut deep. And I know it's not fair. I know it shouldn't be this hard to receive the good, to believe it, to let it in without bracing for the next blow. But if you're here, trying to rewrite the echo with something softer, you're not alone. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And tonight, we're pouring what it takes to undo a wound that should have never been made in the first place. Because wounds don't always come from broken bones or betrayal. Some of them are quieter, deeper. Some of us are healing from the words, others from the silence, from being left, from being blamed, from being loved only when we were easy to love, or when we were providing, contributing, caring more than our share. And some wounds we gave to ourselves by repeating their lies, by expecting abandonment, by not letting the love in because we didn't think we deserved it. That's the part no one talks about. How even after all the damage is done, we keep picking up the pieces and cutting ourselves again. Not because we want to, but because it's what we've learned. I remember asking a few clients once, really successful people, the kind everyone assumes had it all together, "What's the last thing someone said to you before you made it?" And more than one of them answered, "You'll never make it." That stuck with me. Because even after all their wins, after the money, the success, the applause, that's the sentence they remembered. Not that you got this, not the never quit, not the grind it took to get there. What stuck was the voice that said they couldn't. I want to believe it motivated them, pushed them to prove that person wrong. And maybe it did at first. But the truth is, they heard it. They remembered it. And what they really had to do was learn how to turn the volume down on that echo. When I started working on this podcast, I didn't tell anyone, not family, not friends. I just did it. Not because I was unsure, but because I was sure. I felt good, inspired, like this was mine to build. But if I had shared it too early, they would have questioned the idea. Why whiskey? Why coffee? And maybe they'd mean well, but doubt has a funny way of landing in all the right places, the cracks you didn't even know were there. And suddenly, you're not so sure anymore. So I didn't share it. That was my way of turning down the noise, of not self-sabotaging, of trusting my gut long enough to get it out of me. I finally told them after the website was live, after the trailers were recorded. I didn't ask for opinions. I just dropped the link and walked away. Because truthfully, even if they said something kind, I would have read beyond their words, looked for the subtext, doubt, disbelief. I wouldn't have heard their praise, so I didn't give them a chance to rewrite my story. I just recorded it. And maybe that's how we protect the fragile things we believe in, by not letting other people name them for us. But all it takes is one voice to make you forget every reason you believed in the first place. You can get a standing ovation and still walk off stage remembering the one person who didn't clap. You can be told you're beautiful, brilliant, strong, and still wake up haunted by the person who once made you feel small. That's the damage one voice can do. And we carry it. Not because we want to, but because it embedded itself at the wrong time, when we were young, raw, unguarded, when we still believed what people said about us was who we were. And even now, after all the progress, all the healing, all the work we've done, we can still flinch when someone raises their voice. We can still second-guess the compliment, still brace for a punch that isn't coming, because part of us remembers the one that did. And I hate that. I hate that love doesn't always echo the way pain does, that praise fades faster than cruelty, that we have to fight to believe the good, but we just absorb the bad. But you know what? I think that fight is still worth it, because every time we let someone love us, really love us, that's one more hug against the wound, one more drop of water over the flame, one more truth that might eventually soften the lie. And it doesn't happen fast. It doesn't happen all at once. But every honest connection, every moment of softness, every person who looks at you without judgment, that's healing. Even if it's slow. Even if it takes 100 of them. Especially then. You ever notice how fast we brush off the good? Someone compliments us, and we laugh it off. They tell us we're talented, and we downplay it. They say they're proud of us, and we deflect, change the subject, make a joke. Like we don't know how to hold on to something kind. But let someone say one cruel thing, and we'll memorize it, repeat it, build a whole identity around it. That's what the wound does. It trains you to expect the worst, even if the worst hasn't shown up in years. It's like a deep cut that never quite closes. You cover it, clean it, maybe even forget it's there for a while. But the second something brushes up against it, even gently, it flinches. That's what emotional wounds do too. They live just under the surface. And even years later, one comment, one look, one echo can rip them right back open. I've had people speak life into me, and I didn't know how to receive it. I wanted to, but I didn't trust it. Because the part of me that was still bleeding was louder than the part of me that wanted to heal. So I'd smile, but I wouldn't let it land, wouldn't let it be the ointment, wouldn't let it be the Band-Aid. Because if I believed them, if I let myself think I was more valuable than I believe, and they changed their mind, I wouldn't just question them, I'd question me, and I'd end up valuing myself even less. So I stayed guarded, and I know I'm not alone in that. Some of us are so good at surviving that we don't even know how to be loved. Don't know how to thrive. Don't know how to let our guard down without waiting for the hit. We know how to hustle. We know how to hide. We know how to be strong. But soft? That's dangerous. Because when you've been hurt before, letting someone see the soft parts of you feels like giving them a weapon, even if all they want to do is hold you. But what if healing isn't about being unhurt? What if it's about learning to let love in, anyway? Letting the good get louder. Letting the kind words stay longer. Letting the hugs count for something. Letting yourself say, that felt good. Thank you. I needed that. Please, stay. That's how we heal. Not all at once. Not perfectly. Not without flinching. But honestly. And here's the truth I'm sitting with right now. I'm 55. And I'm still trying to feel the hugs. Still trying to believe they're for me. Still trying to let the kindness sink in deeper than the pain ever did. Because for most of my adult life, success made me feel confident in my relationships. It gave me value. It gave me posture. It let me walk into a room and know I was bringing something people could respect. And yeah, maybe that was the only thing that made me feel valuable. But now? Now my days are measured in doctor's visits instead of embraces. In lab results instead of kisses. In appointments instead of intimacy, the kind that makes you feel alive, not clinical. And no one said it, not my wife, not my friends, not anyone. But I've created this story in my head, that the man my wife fell in love with, the strong one, the provider, the protector, the one who had it all under control, that man's gone. And in his place is someone she doesn't quite know what to do with. Someone tired, someone sick, someone who feels like more of a burden than a blessing. I know that story isn't fair, and I know it probably isn't true. But when the echoes get loud, they start to sound like facts. They tell you that you've lost your shine, that your pedestal is too high to climb back onto, that love, real love, only saw you when you were standing tall. Not like this. Not like now. And that's why I need the hugs. Not for attention. Not for pity. But to rewrite that story. To remind the part of me that still thinks love is earned. That maybe, just maybe, I'm still worthy of it. Even when I'm down. Especially when I'm down. I think that's what's hardest about this kind of wound. It doesn't bleed. It questions. It whispers things you'd never say out loud, but somehow still believe. It tells you, you're only lovable when you're useful. Only enough when you're accomplishing something. Only worthy when you're admired from a distance, but too much when someone gets close. And the worst part? It trains you to flinch at love, to question kindness, to doubt softness, because those things start to feel foreign, even threatening. But I've learned something, slowly, painfully, truthfully. Healing doesn't always feel like healing. Sometimes it feels like exhaustion. Sometimes it feels like numbness. Sometimes it feels like standing in a room full of people who care about you and still wondering if you belong. Because even love can feel unfamiliar when you've spent years expecting the opposite. And your body remembers the wound long after your mind starts trying to forget it. So even when someone hugs you, really hugs you, you still brace. You still wait for the part where they change their mind. You still wonder if they only love the version of you that smiles, that entertains, that holds it together. Not the one who's tired. Not the one who's quiet. Not the one who isn't sure how to show up today. But maybe love isn't about who we used to be. Maybe it's not about the pedestal, or the shine, or how many people clapped when we entered the room. Maybe love is about who stays, even when you're unraveling. Even when there's nothing to fix, no script to follow, and no clear way back to who you used to be. Maybe love is the one voice that doesn't try to drown out the others. Just sits beside you while they echo, and waits with you, until they fade. So what helps? What makes that echo quiet, even for a little while? Sometimes it's a hug that lasts longer than expected. One of those, I see you hugs. No words, no fixing. Just someone holding you like you're real. Sometimes it's a text that shows up out of nowhere. Thinking of you, just wants to check in. Want to grab a drink? Nothing fancy, just proof you weren't forgotten. Sometimes it's watching someone stay. Not because they have to, but because they want to. And sometimes it's giving kindness to yourself, even if no one else is offering it right now. Telling yourself, I was loved then. I am loved now. I am still worth being loved tomorrow. And I don't have to earn it. You don't have to believe it all the way. Just say it. Let it land. Let it stay longer than the wound usually allows. And yes, it might take 100 hugs, 100 words, 100 quiet reminders that you're not too much, not too broken, not too late. But that doesn't mean you're failing. It means you're healing. So if you're listening to this, and this kind of wound feels familiar, here's what I want you to know. You're not alone. You're not falling short. You're not weak for needing more time or more hugs or more love. You're not broken. You just need to train yourself, like I'm still training myself, to absorb the hugs and deflect the poison. So if today you're open to receiving the antidote, let it be this. Turn the volume down on the lies, on the doubt, on the voice that told you that you're nothing without your old self. Let the hugs in, unfiltered. Don't deflect them. Don't question them. Just take them. And the next time someone tries to shrink you, the next time that voice, outside or inside, tries to pull you back down, let the whiskey speak, even if it's just under your breath as you walk away. Fuck you. I'm still here. This is I Drink My Coffee Black and My Whiskey Neat, where we don't shout, we pour. And tonight, Report the ache of being torn down and the quiet rebellion of choosing to rise anyway. Because looking back can explain the wound, but only looking forward will outgrow it. So if this stirs something in you, let that be your move, even if it's small, even if it's quiet. Because even the quietest voice is louder than silence. And yours deserves more than to survive. It deserves to rise, to speak, to pour louder than the venom.